Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to a new episode of the Geektown Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm your host, Dave Elliott, and on this episode, I'm chatting with Stefan Felicic, supervising sound editor on a host of shows from The Shrink Next Door and Our Flag Means Death to The Affair and L Word Generation Q. However, the series we are mainly talking to him about today is the critically acclaimed and multi-award-winning FX series What We Do in the Shadows. From the minds of Jermaine Clement and Taika Waititi, What We Do in the Shadows is a mockumentary comedy horror which takes a look into the daily lives, or rather nightly lives, of four vampires who have lived together for 100 years on Staten Island. Stefan, along with the rest of the sound team, have been nominated for the Outstanding Sound Editing in a Comedy or Drama Emmy this year for the Season 3 episode The Escape. The show has also been nominated for Outstanding Comedy, Outstanding Writing, Costumes, Sound Mixing and Stunts, so it's got a stack of nominations this year. On a side note, the series has previously aired on the BBC in the UK. However, now that their deal with FX has ended, it's possible the fourth season may move straight to Disney Plus, who currently have the first two seasons. At the moment, we just don't know. The fourth season is currently airing on FX in the USA. If you'd like to hear more behind-the-scenes interviews, don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts by searching for Geektown Radio. This will also give you our weekly Geektown Radio podcast, which brings you all the latest TV, film, and gaming news. You can also go to the website at geektown.co.uk for daily news stories and all the latest UK and US TV premiere dates. But for now, please enjoy our interview with supervising sound editor on What We Do in the Shadows, Stefan Felicic.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Before we talk a little bit more about the show itself, how about a bit of background about you? First of all, do you want to just explain what your job is on the show? Because you're down as sound supervisor for What We Do in the Shadows. Supervising sound editor for a lot of your sort of previous jobs. Are those basically the same thing with two different titles?
There's some supervising sound editor or sound supervisor. It's just the same thing. I'm sure you know that every sound pretty much on a TV show is artificial.
Yes.
There's very little that is from production. And the classic example I use is when you see people in a restaurant and the main actors talking in a restaurant, and then they're in the restaurant, there's a group of people everywhere. If you listen to the dailies, they're just moving their mouth. They're not making any sound at all, because all you want to hear is the people in the front. And the microphones are always aiming at their mouth, so you don't hear their feet. So everything is recreated. Mm-hmm. So it takes a lot of people to recreate everything, and there's a lot of choices to be made, and everything kind of goes through me. So there's a spotting session with the picture editor usually, and the music people, and then they talk about what they want, and specifically there's different things they want to hear, or there's a certain aesthetic that they want. Or there was one episode where he was driving a car that arrived, and it was like, I think, a hybrid steam and gasoline car. So you got to come up with something they tell you, okay, we want it, you know, it's got to be like that kind of, and you get an idea. So I take all these notes and then I pass them on to everybody. So there's the people who do the Foley. Mm-hmm. There's this, our sound effects editor, Dave Barbie. He's the guy who just like comes up with all the cool sounds.
Yeah.
And then the dialogue editor. And then I also edit the ADR. So a lot of times the script gets changed a little bit. Then we want to add a line here and there. And so I get, you know, a list, all the ADR that needs to be done. And then I go through the episode and I have my own notes. And if something can't be rescued from production, then I spot it for ADR and then put out the cue sheets. And then there's a scheduling person that schedules the ADR sessions. We record everybody. I put it all together. And then I get all the sessions from the sound effects editor, the Foley editor, the dialogue editor. And I listen to everything and make sure that we follow what it's basically, we want to follow what we want to add our creative input, but it's always what matters the most is what the client wants. You know?
Yeah.
And I always, you know, compare to, you know, like a while ago, I remodeled my house and we had to hire an architect. And then we were like, okay, no, what style do you like? And he wouldn't answer. He says, you know, I don't, you know, my style is not important, is what you want. Mm-hmm. And I feel kind of like that, you know. I mean, there's certain things I like, but whatever the client wants, I try to translate as much as I can. And then, you know, once I go through everything, I listen to all the material, then we go to the dub stage and the mixers, you know, it's the first time they see the episode also. Mm-hmm. So I'm there to also pass on, okay, you know, the producers mentioned that this should sound like this. We want to hear this more than that. And, you know, what's important here is this. And then, you know, pass on all these instructions. So hopefully, when they listen to it, what they want, their vision is realized and yeah, as close as they can imagine, you know, so that's kind of the idea.
Yeah. And how did you get into this in the first place? Because it's kind of a random area to find yourself in, because you sort of, you know, composers start off as musicians maybe, and they sort of come in. How did you get into the sound editing side?
You know, a lot of failed musicians in the editing community. I always liked music. I was in a band when I was young, and I always liked sound. And at the time I was living in France, and my mother was in the US, and it was not easy to find a job back then. So I figured, well, let's do it the American way. You know, you start from the bottom and you move your way to the top. And back then it was possible to do that. And a friend of my brother had a friend who was in a video duplicating house, and they happened to have a sound department. And back then they were doing laser discs.
Right.
So you start with the film. The actual soundtrack is recorded on film. Mm-hmm. And you have these mag machines, and you have to, all these movies had to be processed, cleaned up to the best that we could. And then you remake a master, and then that goes to the duplicating facility. So mm-hmm. that was great for me, because for work, you go see all these classic American movies for, like, you know, day in and day out. And, you know, then I moved from there to be closer to the create, you know, because that's after the fact when you're doing that.
Yeah.
And it was kind of exciting, especially when you live in Los Angeles, to, you know, trying to get closer to when things are created. So again, if opportunity was, I was asking somebody, so, you know, what kind of, you know, there's so many jobs, what should I look for? Because a lot of people want to be sound effects editors or music editors. And this one guy said, if you want to be busy, be a dialogue editor. Because they're hard to find. It's not a very popular job, but it's very important. And every show needs a dialogue editor, and you'll never be out of work. And
yeah.
So I did that for many years, and it's a very behind the scene, but at the same time, you're really there with like the meat of it, because you're listening to shows with nothing but dialogue.
Right.
And dialogue is the most important thing.
Yeah.
So if you can make it play, you're there. You know, you hear all these stories about these Hollywood people. Yeah, I just want to hear the dialogue and maybe a little music and sound effects, but I think there's some truth to that. And then it's storytelling wise, if you can watch a movie or a TV show with only the dialogue and be taken by the story, you know, it's good.
Yeah.
So for me, that was a great learning experience. And then, you know, I got into, you know, someone is not showing up and they need someone to supervise ADR. And since I know dialogue mm-hmm. and ADR editing, they go, well, Stefan, you know, the supervisor is not here. Do you want to cover? Sure. And I know what it's supposed to sound like from experience. So it, in a way, it came naturally to me. But at the same time, there was a lot of years of work behind it.
Yeah.
Being a sound supervisor, like I said, there's a lot of it is, you know, leading a team, doing what the client wants. But the part I really like is the ADR process. You know, when you get somebody, an actor that you've never met, and you got like, you know, a minute to try to connect and figure out how am I going to ask them to do what needs to be done. Because a lot of times for actors, not of all of them, but, you know, doing ADR is like going to the dentist, you know, they don't want to be there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not going to tell someone that has clout and celebrity, not all of them are very amenable to being directed by a complete unknown guy on, you know, on Source Connect. Mm-hmm. So there's a human aspect of it and also a technical aspect, because when you're doing a line of ADR that has to replace something, the performance has to match, the voice tone has to match, the sync has to match, and you have very little time to just trying to get into a place where everybody collaborates, everybody's involved and happy to do it, and you're moving along at a certain pace so we don't get stuck in doing 20 takes at the beginning on hello, how are you? Because people get bored very quickly.
Yeah.
So that is an aspect I like. And then, you know, before Zoom, when you were connecting on Source Connect, all you could do is hear people. There was no picture on the Zoom link.
Of course. Yeah.
So, you know, I worked with a lot of actors from the UK when I was on a show called The Affair.
Yes.
A lot of people, were from the UK. And so I was on Source Connect. I wasn't able to be there in the studio with them. And so for a sound person, just talking to someone and listening to their voice and not seeing them, I always liked the experience, you know, because you're listening very closely to what they're saying, how they're saying, and trying to detect in their delivery if it matches what needs to be done. Because not everybody is aware of, obviously, the way they speak, or, you know, it's hard to get back into a performance sometimes. So I like that aspect of it.
Yeah.
So that's one part of the job. You know, a lot of it is tracking things because people have ideas that come up. It's a long process. And then you get an email of, oh, we want this. And you got to remember it. You got to execute. And there's a lot of loose ends that need to be put together at the end. So a lot of it is record keeping, which is not like the most glamorous part of it, obviously. But it's kind of, you know, you got to be a well-rounded person. And then, you know, the thing that's also interesting is when you're on the dub stage, after we mix the show, we play it back for the producers and they might ask for completely new things because, you know, you play back the final sound and it sometimes it gives ideas for people. Oh, maybe we should try this. So you got to think on your feet and be, you know, have access to the sound library. I try to remember as much as possible all the ADR that has been done in case I can use some of it. And, you know, oh, we would like to try this. Oh, sure. You know, I mean, especially now with digital and the schedules, people don't like to wait too long. So you got to think fast on your feet. And that's also a good fun part of the process.
Yeah.
It's not something that when you're 6 year old, say, oh, I want to be a sound supervisor, you know, maybe a fireman or airplane pilot, but that's not, this one is a little more obscure, but, it works.
Yeah, absolutely. What we do in the shadows is the big show, which you've been working on most recently. You've been on that from the beginning.
Yeah, I picked it up right after the pilot.
Right, okay. It's a very popular, wonderfully fun show to deal with, and also very off the wall.
Oh, yeah.
How is it sort of finding sounds for a show like that? Because you're going to have a lot of sounds which are not your sort of typical run-of-the-mill thing that you would usually find on a standard network procedural or something. So
yeah. Well, you know, a lot of it, because I got to give credit where credit is due, David Barbie comes up with a lot of fantastic things, you know? But, you know, you end up living in a world where you're constantly listening for things. And now I have a little microphone that I could connect to my iPhone.
Yeah.
And anytime you hear something, you go, you know what? Let's record that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the episodes. I think that was last season, maybe. There was a scene where they're in this gigantic room and they have this huge throne.
Right.
And the throne has these claws, these massive claws. And then they start dragging them. And it's supposed to be a sound that just like hurts everybody's ear.
Right.
So I got the back of your mind. You're just thinking about it. It's like an unconscious thing. And then we're having lunch with and I was working on another show with and we're having lunch with the mixers. And we're around this marble table. And he has like a metal Tupperware box. And then he just kind of pushed it and like, what? Do that again? And then, but you know, the funny thing is when he did it, I thought, man, this is a really cool sound, but I hadn't made the connection that I was going to need that for this episode, but I somehow my unconscious said, you know what, this is good. And then, so we started performing, you know, so he dragged it in different ways and all that. And then I recorded the scene with my iPhone and man, that was like some horrible screech. And then I kept it. And then, you know, I went, oh, that's what I need it for. And it worked out great. Because that hurt everybody's ear. So you got to be, I guess it's a world you live in. You hear things, you record them and you use things. And sometimes you can even use like vocal sounds. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with these. They have these creatures, the wraiths.
Right. Yes.
They kind of float around and they whisper. There's a sound effect part of it, but there's a lot of whispering. And, you know, that was the thing also. There's actually it's on this show. They're whispering, but they're whispering so loud that it hurts the ears. And I was thinking, how am I going to do people who whisper and actually hurt your ears? That was so what we do is, you know, we have a loop group. So these are voice actors that come in. And,
right.
And
yeah.
So what I do is for the wraiths, I have them whisper, but each individual wraith is actually made of many people who whisper, and
right.
Then I edit it and then make these little waves. But I noticed that when you say S, you can say S like with a very high pitch.
Right.
So we started doing that, and you know, you whisper and you start like this, and then when you put it together, it gets louder and louder. And at the end, all you hear is all these S's. So that was something that came by doing and thinking. And that's what we ended up using. I think it could be one of the first couple of episodes. It's either episode one or episode two. And it really worked too, you know? So yeah. And a lot of things that are repurposed.
Yeah.
You hear something and then you go, oh, you know, I'm going to keep that. And then it turns into something else.
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, you said both seasons in at the moment, but does that get sort of easier now you're that far into the show because you've started to build up a library of sound?
Of course, yeah. I mean, there are things that they do, you know, they transform into bats and they transform back into humans. So these are established, or when they fly, you know, once we've got, there's certain things that they do that are established. So you don't have to think about those things, and which is kind of nice because then it leaves your mind open to create new things. You know, it's funny because on one of the episodes this season, they bring back a dodo bird, you know, right. these extinct dodo birds.
Yeah.
That's a good example. I think is Sam Johnson was on the spotting session and it's like, well, this is going to be kind of half dinosaur, half chicken was the note.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got into the library and you'll see it's a short little thing, but I think I achieved the half dinosaur, half chicken because there is a dinosaur sound and there is a chicken sound, and somehow they work together and it created this new sound for an extinct bird that nobody's ever heard, you know. So that worked out.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
The episode which has got the Emmy nomination, I believe it's season 3, episode 6, it was The Escape, I think, is specifically the episode that got nominated.
Yes, right.
Do you know specifically why that episode was chosen for the Emmy?
I mean, some episodes are more subtle, but, you know, for recognition, it's usually better to put an episode that has more things in it. So
yeah.
There's a lot of sound effects on this one. You know,
right.
there's like these creatures that are like the gargoyles that are made out of rock and move around. So that was a whole thing to create. And then there's the sire, the original vampire, who's a completely new creature that they're running after. So there was a lot going on there. There's also, they're chasing him. There's a lot of activity. So it's better, I think, to just put your best foot forward on an episode that has a lot of things going on. So you hope that people will like some of it, you know, because I think there's a better chance of people enjoying it and listening to it. So yeah, so that's why we picked it. I feel like every episode, we put everything we have in every episode. But for presentation, I think that one was a pretty good one. And plus, you know, the plot is funny too. So
yeah.
That's the one where Aaron was in that little car. That was hilarious too.
Right, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, sheer amount of range of sounds, I guess.
Range of sounds, yeah. I think range of sounds is yeah. You know, it's like you're showcasing your work. So yeah, that one definitely had covered there was a lot of things in it that we thought were worthy of presenting. So
when it comes to sort of the show, I mean, you're dealing obviously with directors and the producers. Mm-hmm. Are Jermaine Clement, creator of it, along kind of with Takitawahiti. Mm-hmm. Are they involved much in the show at this point, or is it sort of smooth sailing?
Yeah, Taika wasn't involved on this show. I worked on Our Flag Means Death, so he was more on that one because he was acting in it. Yeah. And Jermaine was on the show, I would have to check, but the first two seasons.
Right.
Yeah, I think, and he was very involved, and it was fantastic because he knows exactly how it's supposed to sound like. And it's because of him that we have this universe of reality TV. You know, I mean, it's a documentary, and there were all these rules that we followed. And actually, you know, for instance, in this world, we were pretending to be a documentary crew following the vampires. And so the people we know, they're allowed to wear radio mics because, you know, they have time in the morning to be set with the radio mics. But sometimes the vampires go out in the world and they meet people. And if you meet somebody, even though on the set, they're wearing a radio mic to be able to hear it. But in this world, they're not supposed to because we just met them.
Yes.
And it's supposed to be a distant boom. So the challenge on a lot of it at the beginning was to be faithful to this world where we're following our vampires who were all wearing radio mics. And we meet these people and we have to treat the people as if they're kind of distant and poorly mic'd from the boom. And we're trying to hear what they're saying and all that. So And Jermaine could hear every detail. So that was really good guidance for everybody. And also sound effects wise, you know, it's supposed to be a real world. I mean, we're following these guys who are vampires. So you can't just have enormous sound effects and monster voices. Everything has to be almost plausible, even though, you know, they're vampires. So that was really interesting. And we kept that aesthetic of, you know, as sound editors, we're always tempted to clean things up to make everything perfect. But when Jermaine was leading us, it was always, we're here. This is a real reality TV show. So it's got to have a few rough edges.
Yeah.
And what I ended up doing is I have a lavalier mic and then I just recorded. I just bumped it around and kicked it around. And, you know, and that was our, anytime you see someone hugging, you know, we throw that in because in reality, they'd be wearing a radio mic and it would crunch. And then there was a scene also in the beginning where someone was out there and there was a lot of wind. And I, same thing, got a microphone and just blew on it, you know, and made all this wind noise, which is usually the stuff we take out.
Yeah.
You can't find it in a library, a sound library, because everybody takes out the, you know, so we had to create our own lav bumps and boom wind. And also the person who holds the boom, sometimes when you turn it too fast, it makes a noise, but it's a very specific noise. So I asked the people in Foley, if you have a boom, just like kick it around because we're definitely going to use this one. And we throw it, you know, whenever it's needed to make it sound like it's real and it's not perfect. So, and that was all coming from Jermaine, who really had a very clear vision of, so once we're launched, we know what to do. And then we just keep on doing that. So,
yeah,
but that makes the show different than any other. Really, this feeling of you're just kind of almost intruding on people's lives, and then they talk to the camera and all that. So
yeah, it's a wonderful concept for a show, and so unique and different and fun and funny.
And the writing is, I mean, who knows how they come up with this stuff. I mean, it's just like, you know, I mean, for us, it, you know, at the beginning, there was one episode where the Baron comes out and eats the sound guy. So that was really funny.
Yeah, it's a really, really wonderful, fun show. I mean, presumably your work on What We Do in the Shadows sort of was what led to you working on Our Flag Means Death as well.
I think so. Yeah, I think they were happy with it. And then our name might have come up. And so we worked on that one for this season.
Yeah, that unfortunately hasn't aired here at all yet, which is really frustrating. So I still haven't managed to see that yet. But I mean, that must have been great from working on a sort of pirate series.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that one is fantastic too, you know. So I got really lucky to work on both these shows,
particularly with somebody like Taika involved with it. I mean,
and you know, he plays Blackbeard, right?
Yes, so looking forward to that landing over here at some point. I mean, just looking back through your catalogue of stuff, you have worked on some really interesting things. You were dialogue editor on Prison Break, which was a great show.
Yeah, that was tough, you know. I mean, that was, you know, to make it sound right, that was not always easy. And half of the time they were shirtless in their cells, so no radio mics on a lot of scenes. So, you know, it's that was a challenging one.
Yeah.
But it turned out really well.
You were sound editor on Chuck, which was a series I loved as well.
Oh, really? Yeah, that was a fun one too. That's right. Yeah, I think I did all from the first one to the last.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember because we did ADR towards the end and it's like living with, especially for the actors, you know, they spend so much time with each other. So that was, and yeah, it was really funny. And that was a fun show too. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, I noticed you did some episodes of Fringe, which was another great show.
That's right. Yeah, that Warner Brothers. Yeah. This was more, I helped out on a few episodes. That's true, yeah.
And you did a few episodes of Limitless. I was gutted when they cancelled that. And you were dialogue editor on that. And that's the best job, I think, to have on that show, because the dialogue on that show was wonderful.
Oh, yeah. You know, at Warner Brothers, there's a lot of editors and we're all part of a team and we all help each other out. So I was mainly working on Chuck and Prison Break. And then whenever they need, you know, we help each other. And so, yeah, I was lucky to cut a few episodes of Limitless, which was a great show also. And then The Walking Dead for a while.
Yes.
At the very, very first season. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yes. The Frank Darabont season. I'm a huge fan of The Walking Dead, which, of course, is coming to an end relatively imminently. But
Well, that was, sound editing wise, you know, when you're a dialogue editor, that's a tough one because it's a world that where everything is dead. So
yeah.
No birds, no crickets, no cars, a lot of cleanup, because you really have to feel this post-catastrophe world. And it's a lot of work to present it to the stage and as clean as you can, because it doesn't take much to take you out of the illusion. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you can imagine if there's the wrong sound in that show, you know, suddenly, you know, people jump off their seats. So yeah, that was a pretty challenging show also.
Yes, I can imagine. That's the thing with The Walking Dead. You don't think about the amount of stuff that they must have to take out compared to,
of course,
because you can't have the odd bird noise or, you know,
of course, like
but you've also can't have it sound like it's completely dead, so you've got to put something.
And then here, and then, you know, you recreate an entire new world all around, you know.
You also did a few episodes of Deep Space Nine, which was, of that sort of generation of Trek, I think was probably the best out of the next generation set of stuff. I mean,
I always felt like, you know, I was on the heels of the Next Generation, and I was kind of the new guy, and then they put me on Deep Space Nine. But it turned out that it had quite the cult following I worked on the first season, I think.
Right.
And
yeah.
It had quite a cult following.
I mean, that must be a fun toy box to play around in. I guess a lot of the sound is sort of established at that point, but you'd still having to find new things because it's a space station rather than being a ship.
And you know, I was a dialogue editor on that. So everyone has its own role. So, you know, and it's all shot on a set. So that's another challenging thing to work on, because it's all a wood set, and back then we didn't have Pro Tools, so
right.
It was done on tape.
Yeah.
And
not
the easiest thing to clean up all these, because the sets can sound very hollow, and then there's a lot of crackles and pops, and so a lot of old school editing on that. And then, you know, obviously the sound effects editor, you know, created the whole world. But, you know, it's kind of the same idea. You have to present it in as clean of a form as you can.
Yeah, I'm old enough to remember editing on tape. So
that kind of shows that I go way back. So there you go.
Yeah, no, it's experience, definitely.
Well, yeah, there you go, experience. That's how we call it.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, what we do in the shadows is well deserved of picking up an Emmy for its sound.
Thank you. Yeah, that's our third nomination for this show. So we're excited.
Yes. I think you got beaten out by The Mandalorian, was it last year or the year before?
deservedly so. That's an amazing. A lot of shows sound really good. So, it's always a toss up, because there's a lot of people that would do a phenomenal job. And, you know, and I always joke that they should have an Emmy for keeping up with the schedule, because that alone sometimes is quite an achievement,
because
you got 5 days and it's got to sound perfect. And a lot of people put a lot of work and long hours to make it sound, worthy of an Emmy.
No, absolutely. I mean, some of the schedules on TV are absolutely insane, particularly on the sound side and the music side, because they're generally the last things that go in. So, you know.
Yeah. And then, you know, now, because especially on what we do in the shadows and to a certain extent, Our Flag Means Death, the VFX, everybody's at full capacity and we get VFX as the day of the mix.
Wow.
So, you know, you got to come up with things pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So
it's fascinating, and just so much goes into it. So good luck with the Emmy, because I really think you deserve it this time around.
Oh, thank you so much.
Last couple of questions for you.
Yeah.
Well, you're still working on What We Do in the Shadows right now. Have you got anything else lined up that you want to mention, or are you focused on that at the moment?
We're on a completely different note. I'm working on The L Word, which is very different, obviously. And then that would take me to December, and then we would start again on What We Do in the Shadows. And then, you know, things happen sometimes in between. But I've been pretty busy.
Yeah,
last year was very busy, but now it's nice. Its schedule is a little more steady, but yeah, there's a lot of things out there.
Yeah, there is so much TV floating around right now. I mean, having come through the pandemic and like everything ramped back up, and now it's just insane amount of stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Couple of last questions for you, which are always the same for everybody. First one is, what TV shows are you watching at the moment?
Oh, well, it's very different. My wife and I, we love these things. Danish and Swedish dramas. So
yes.
I forgot the name of them, but which is completely different. So I forgot the name of it. Borgen, I think it was called.
Yeah,
it was really good. Yeah, that was amazing. I remember that was a few years ago, the one where the Russians invade Norway. Forgot the name of it, but it was so good.
Yeah.
We like more dialogue focused. And, you know, I luckily forget movies very easily, so I can rewatch movies like it's the first time. So we've been going back into a lot of movies that we've already seen. I kind of like that aesthetic of sound too, where you hear fewer things, but they all matter. Because, you know, now things are a lot busier. And kind of that European sensibility, you know, where you hear maybe fewer things, but it's all part of the story. So yeah, we watched a lot of that.
Yeah. And if you had the opportunity to work on any show, can be something historical from the past, something present day, or some sort of future genre you've maybe not worked in yet, which show would it be? And it can't be one you've already worked on.
The show I'm working on is great because there's a lot of humor and we're laughing all day. So definitely, you know, more of those anytime. But I also like, to me, a good story and good writing, anything that is well written and has a good story and good actors, to me is always a joy to work on, you know. And you get into more subtle things, but I really enjoyed working on The Affair, for instance. You know, Sarah Treem, she's just an extremely talented person. So, you know, I like that kind of content also.
Yeah, something a little bit more subtle maybe than this sort of...
You know, I wouldn't pick, because I really, what I'm doing now, the humor of it is so much fun.
Yeah.
A little of both, actually. And I've been lucky that I've done that. So, it's not like I'm looking for, there's like some elusive thing that I haven't worked on. I must say, I'm pretty happy with what I've been doing. So more of the same, it would be the answer to that.
Yeah, awesome. Really good luck with the Emmy this year. The Emmys are in September, aren't they? I think they're doing the creative Emmys.
Yeah, I think it's going to be in person this year. So, party to look forward to. And I will write a speech in advance this time, because last time I didn't and I was terrified the whole time. So this time I will prepare something.
Yes, be prepared just in case. Yes definitely. Yeah. It's been lovely chatting with you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Hopefully we'll get to talk to you again at some point in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much.
Be a real pleasure.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.